It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Hello, winter.
We're expecting a total of 7 to 13 inches.
That is our top story at noon. Parts of ski country are white today, and they're going to get a whole lot whiter, too. A winter storm warning up through tomorrow afternoon for parts of western New York, northwestern PA.
Overall, there's good widespread snow, and that's going to continue today. But the real story will be across the south towns and across the western southern tier going into tonight, where that snow is going to become heavy at times.
Heather Kenyon at the National Weather Service in Buffalo, your full forecast later in the broadcast. Vaccine game plan. That is the other big story at noon.
100% of Americans that want the vaccine will have had the vaccine by that point in time.
The CDC decides this afternoon who gets the COVID-19 vaccine first. Distribution will start in just 2 weeks.
They have proposed giving the vaccine to healthcare workers first. High priority may also be given to workers in essential industries, people with certain medical conditions, and those 65 and older.
Sabrina Cupid reporting states will start getting Pfizer's vaccine on December 15th. Moderna's vaccine will be available a week later. For hospitals in crisis mode, it can't come soon enough.
Our nursing staff is getting a little fatigued at this point.
COVID hospitalizations breaking yet another one-day record in the U.S. yesterday, with over 96,000 people being admitted. That number has tripled in just 2 months. And as expected, the lockdowns continue.
We could potentially do a New York pause. California just did a California pause, which is basically a stop.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the Empire State could shut down just like it did back in March. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom says he's getting ready to issue stay-at-home orders for 51 of the state's 58 counties. Andrew Gruhl, the owner of Slapfish, that's a restaurant in L.A.
Nothing says take my rules less seriously than not following your own rules, right?
Gruhl says it's kind of hard to take orders from someone like Gavin Newsom.
After Gavin Newsom's 15-20-course hypocrisy dinner at the French Laundry, eating indoors, eating without masks on, groups of over 20, when the day before he said, don't do all the things I'm about to do, and now they ban outdoor dining, which actually there is no science saying that you should ban outdoor dining.
In New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy banning outdoor gatherings of 25 people or more. President Trump continues his legal fight over the results of the 2020 vote. Today, the campaign filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin claiming widespread voter fraud. White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany.
The president has been unapologetic for the last 10 months in saying that mail-in voting, mass mail-in voting, is subject to fraud. This has been a key part of what he's talked about when it comes to election integrity.
In Georgia, Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is probing illegal out-of-state votes. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley.
They're trying to bring in false votes, false voters. This would be a matter of Georgia criminal law, and it is clear that officials are prepared to prosecute people.
James Freeman at the Wall Street Journal says President Trump has to be careful, though, with that runoff election looming next month in Georgia.
His legacy is really on the line. Whatever he does next, this more competitive economy that his reforms on taxes and regulation gave us is really at stake if Republicans don't hold those Georgia Senate seats.
President Trump has told his advisors that if his legal fight fails, he will run again in 2024. Joe Biden's pick to head up the Office of Management and Budget, raising some eyebrows among the GOP. Neera Tanden is with the far-left group Center for American Progress, and she spent the past few years blasting the very same people who will be voting on her confirmation. Not going to happen, says Texas Senator John Cornyn.
I just think she's going to be radioactive.
Cornyn says Neera Tanden has a zero chance of being confirmed. As the White House gets ready for a new occupant next month, media critic Joe Concha says don't expect much transparency from a Biden administration.
There was a time during the Obama-Biden administration, this was in the beginning, right, 2009, the press still very friendly to Obama. This is at the height of the financial crisis. He's selling Obamacare. President Obama went 308 days without giving a solo press conference. That's a full-term pregnancy plus 1 month. So expect more of that with Joe Biden for the next 4 years. Very few press conferences, very little transparency.
Conscious says the mainstream media has put down the microphone and picked up the pom-poms when it comes to covering Joe Biden. Here's Jane Pauley from CBS News.
And now some breaking news. President-elect Joe Biden and his wife Jill won't just be bringing their German shepherds, Major and Champ, to the White House. The Bidens tell us exclusively that soon they'll be joined by a cat.
Compare that to the New York Times last year that literally had this headline, "Why President Trump Hates Your Dog." But look, I have no problem with puff pieces, actually, here and there when it comes to the president. But they're like the New York Jets. You know, they took the last 4 years off, and now puff pieces are all the rage.
Joe Concha says he can't remember a single puff piece the mainstream media has done on President Trump over the past 4 years. Delay of game. That Steelers-Ravens game has been pushed back again.
The game was first postponed on Thursday.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. We got the turkey here.
Then the Ravens-Steelers game was moved to Sunday because of COVID positives. Now, teams scheduled to play a rare game of Wednesday afternoon football.
Deborah Rodriguez reporting still to come this Tuesday. Winter storm warning in western New York. Holiday depression in this COVID era. And the Crosscutters have been saved in Williamsport.
Well, good afternoon to all. Winter weather has returned to parts of the area this day. It's actually kind of slippery for travel in some sections. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Tuesday, December 1st, winter storm warning up for parts of ski country through tomorrow afternoon. Earlier today, I caught up with Heather Kenyon at the National Weather Service in Buffalo.
It's turning white right now, Heather, down here in Jamestown, but I guess stay tuned because the worst is yet to come, right?
Yeah, colder air has moved into the region, so we're expecting snow to pretty much continue today and into tonight and Wednesday. We're expecting more of a widespread snow today, but it's going to start to become confined to the higher terrain, including Jamestown, where we could see snowfall accumulations of up to about 10 inches. Through Wednesday.
Through Wednesday. So are we further south that we could be spared from the bulk of this, or are we just, we're in the bullseye?
The bullseye is along the Chautauqua Ridge, so just to the northwest of you, the higher terrain in Chautauqua County. Up there, they could see 7 to 13 inches of snowfall.
This isn't lake effect, is it?
No, we're seeing like a widespread snow. It's not lake effect. However, with colder air moving in, we're going to see some lake response starting tonight, and then that's how it's going to stay confined more so to the southern tier and Buffalo South Town.
Some wind tonight could pose some problems too with some blowing snow.
Yeah, so winds are going to rapidly increase tonight and continue through Wednesday, so we could see west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour with gusts 30 and then even to 45 miles per hour during the day on Wednesday. So yeah, that's going to produce some blowing snow.
All right, this is a quick shot. Later this week, we should be in the clear.
We don't have any additional snow events on the horizon. However, we'll stay in the upper 30s to 40s for high temperatures into the weekend.
Will we have a white Christmas? Too soon to tell, Heather?
Too soon to tell.
That is Heather Kenyon at the National Weather Service in Buffalo. Pope Francis has appointed a new bishop of Buffalo. Michael William Fisher will serve as the 15th leader of the Catholic Church in western New York. The 62-year-old Baltimore native will be installed next month. Now to COVID. Governor Cuomo threatening to impose even greater restrictions in New York. He says the decision on how much a region shuts down will depend on their hospitalization rate.
We're going to add to our zone designations, the yellow, orange, red, the hospitalization rate.
Cuomo says the state will track COVID hospitalizations by zip code.
We are now worried about
overwhelming the hospital system.
The governor has ordered hospitals to reach out to retired doctors and nurses to help them deal with the expected new wave of COVID patients.
If a hospital gets overwhelmed, there will be a state investigation. I don't mean to be difficult, but difficult is when people die because they didn't get the right health care.
Starting Friday, all elective surgeries will be suspended in Erie County, New York, which has the highest COVID infection rate anywhere in New York State. In Pennsylvania, nearly every single county in the Commonwealth now facing a spike in COVID-19.
The governor's office says the state's positive test rate jumped to 11.7%, up from 11.1% last week. The positive rate was 9.6% 2 weeks ago. Health officials have said when the positive rate rises above 5%, it's an indication of troubling community spread. Five counties, Juniata, Mifflin, Bedford, Somerset, and Tioga, were reported as having a positivity rate above 20%. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Governor Cuomo making it easier for schools to stay open in COVID hotspots. New York easing up on the number of students who have to get tested before going back to the classroom.
We're grateful that our voice was heard along with that of other people around the state who thought it was really important for us to have kids in school.
Hamburg School Superintendent Michael Cornell, his district near Buffalo, is in an orange zone and will only have to test 20% of students each month instead of each week like they used to. Greece, New York School Superintendent Kathleen Gropman.
It's hard because, I mean, it really is. It's truly changing our work on a day-to-day basis. And what we're also trying to do is bring calm, trying to bring some predictability for kids and for families.
Governor Cuomo says schools, one of the safest places for kids to be during this pandemic. Mental health experts say the pandemic may increase holiday depression in some folks. David Morris runs New Direction. It's a counseling center in Western Pennsylvania.
We have to make a lot of changes to our typical rhythms, but also to some of our traditions. And the rhythm and the routine and the tradition are things that keep us afloat, help us find joy, find that meaning in our everyday lives.
Morris says COVID cancellations of Christmas traditions will force families to get creative in how they keep their holiday routines alive. Minor League Baseball's been saved in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Fans are overjoyed that the Crosscutters won't be hearing "You're Out" anytime soon.
We're the home and birthplace of Little League Baseball. This is just another step in that dream to be able to play Major League Baseball.
Everyone knows about the Crosscutters. They're local to Williamsport. I think when people hear Williamsport, the first thing is either Little League or Crosscutters. So I think it's a really big deal around here.
The Crosscutters have been in Williamsport ever since 1926. And an 8-year-old Pike County, Pennsylvania boy selling hand sanitizer to raise money to buy Christmas presents for the less fortunate in his community. Flynn Bogue says he feels fortunate to have so much while other kids his age are hurting because of the pandemic.
I saw that I had everything that I needed and that I wanted. So then I was like, oh, I guess I'll just help kids.
Flynn's dad says he couldn't be more proud of his son.
You hope that you have some kind of an impact on them, that you download some good qualities in them and they become a benefit and an asset to society as adults. At 8 years old, I'm still blown away. I'm so proud of him. And I get choked up just thinking about it. It's good. His soul is intact.
His soul is intact. We could not agree more. Let's pause for sports. Your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. The Seahawks are back in London, first place in the NFC West. Russell Wilson threw for 230 yards and a touchdown. Seattle held off the Philadelphia Eagles 23-17. DK Metcalf had 10 catches for 177 yards. And Chris Carson had a touchdown on the ground for the Hawks, who are now 8-3 on the year. That impressed Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll.
Great to see Chris Carson back. Ran like a monster out there. The touchdown run was fantastic. DK has a huge night. What a big year he's having, and a big night tonight. They played great.
Carson wins through two touchdown passes, but another interception and took six sacks. The Eagles fall to 3-7-1 in the NFC East, but Wentz says we're still not out of it.
It's very frustrating to have this result, you know, these last couple weeks, and we were at this season. But the crazy thing about this league and this division especially is it's still wide open, and guys know that.
Yeah, speaking of crazy, it was originally scheduled for Thanksgiving, then moved to Tuesday today. and now moved again? The Ravens and Steelers will have to wait at least one more day to get their Week 12 game in. After 20 Ravens players tested positive for COVID, it'll be played tomorrow at 3:40. ESPN's Adam Schefter.
There was the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony that NBC had promoted for days now. And so the NFL, which usually takes a backseat to nobody, now will start at 3:40, 12:40 on the West Coast.
Baltimore is 6-4. Pittsburgh still undefeated at 10-0. Seems like just yesterday the Lakers won the NBA championship, right? Well, the NBA's gearing up to start the 2020-21 season today. Training camps opening up around the league. The preseason will run December 11th through the 19th. Teams playing at least twice. The season starts on December 22nd. And Under Armour and Golden State Warriors star Stephen Curry are teaming up for a new brand to compete with Nike and the Jordan brand. Under Armour has announced that it will launch the Curry brand this week, which will feature shoes and clothes for several sports, including basketball and golf. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, winters arrived in Western New York, a COVID vaccine arrives just in time for Christmas, and a story of survival and forgiveness. Meet today's hometown hero.
Too many Christians, especially whenever it comes to LGBTQ-related issues, have bought into what might be called the inevitability thesis. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. It is futile, many Christians believe, and nearly everything in our culture has convinced us to assume, for anyone to resist same-sex attractions. And any attempts to help someone, especially if they're young, to reduce their behaviors or attractions, well, that's just as futile. In fact, it probably is illegal. After all, haven't legislatures adopted and courts upheld bans on such things? And so, pastors, youth pastors, Christian school teachers, entire counseling degree programs at Christian colleges and seminaries, and yes, even plenty of parents have embraced a so-called inevitability thesis when it comes to LGBTQ issues. They now refuse to address such questions at all. Well, a ruling last week from the 11th Circuit Court challenges the inevitability thesis. Back in 2017, both the city of Boca Raton and the county of Palm Beach in Florida joined a growing list of jurisdictions to adopt bans on sexual orientation change efforts. In these ordinances, licensed professional counselors are prohibited from treating minors with the goal of changing their sexual orientation or gender identity. When Robert Otto and Julie Hamilton, both licensed counselors, challenged these ordinances in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, their chance of success seemed slim to none. After all, similar bans had already been challenged and upheld in the 9th and 3rd Circuit Courts. But Judge Britt Grant of the 11th Circuit sided with Otto and Hamilton. The counselors had told the court that the ordinances infringed on their constitutional right to speak freely with clients, including those who sought counseling because of their sincerely held religious beliefs that conflict with homosexuality. Judge Grant found the free speech restrictions of these ordinances to be presumptively unconstitutional. While Judge Grant acknowledged that the kind of therapy Otto and Hamilton practiced to be highly controversial, which is why dozens of states and municipalities have banned it, the ordinances applied only to particular speech because of the topics discussed or the idea and message expressed. The First Amendment, Judge Grant clarified, has no carve-out for controversial speech. Despite the government's legitimate authority to protect children, speech, no matter how controversial, cannot be suppressed solely to protect the young from ideas or images that a legislative body thinks unsuitable for them. And not only does Grant's decision create what's called a conflict in the circuits, which makes it all the more probable that the Supreme Court will have to consider the issue, there's an implicit lesson here for anyone that's tempted by the inevitability thesis. You see, after California and other jurisdictions passed laws restricting what counselors could discuss with their clients, many Christians and Christian institutions chose to conform to ideas and practices they knew to be wrong, so as not to put their licensure, their accreditation, or some other form of the state's blessing at risk. Now, the pressure they felt was, of course, real, but they were mistaken to think that there was no further legal recourse available. Of course, it's not clear what decision an even newly remade Supreme Court may return on any of these issues. And that's why the best advice in times like ours remains that which was given by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, advice that we were all reminded of recently by Roger Ayer. We must not live by lies. While there may not be a call for us to stand on every street corner or counter-protest every pride march, the greater challenge for every mom, dad, pastor, professor, youth pastor, and even professional counselor is to go along with what's not true. But we must never go along. We must never be forced to say that which is not true. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that brought the soaking rain yesterday caused rain to change to snow in some areas last night and this morning. We're back to a wintry pattern moving forward. The call for today, a 1 to 3 inch additional accumulation expected this afternoon in parts of western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, where there will continue to be areas of slippery travel. The temperatures will hold steady or drop a couple degrees through the afternoon. For tonight and tomorrow, the winds will increase. It will be mainly cloudy with flurries in areas of Lake Stone. Just about anybody in the region is fair game for adjusting to an inch. There could be a couple, 3, 4, 5 inches in some areas east and southeast of Lake Erie and Ontario, with temperatures not too far from the freeze point. Thursday, some sun and clouds and a high in the lower 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us here, some of the stories we're following for you today. Tuesday, December 1st, winter storm warnings up for parts of ski country in western New York, northwestern Pennsylvania, right on through tomorrow afternoon. Some places looking at over a foot of snow by then. Millions of Americans rolling up their sleeves in just a couple of weeks. A COVID vaccine arrives December 15th.
21 million healthcare workers in the United States. You've got about 3 million long-term care or nursing home residents in the United States. And you've got about 20 million doses initially.
Dr. David Agus at USC says not everyone who needs the vaccine will be able to get it at first. Pfizer's will hit the market in 2 weeks, followed by Moderna's vaccine closer to Christmas. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson says President Trump deserves a lot of credit for getting a cure for COVID available.
Operation Warp Speed is working when you consider the fact that it took in the polio epidemic 10 years just to come up with the vaccine. And this will be basically within 10 months.
Thompson says the big test will be convincing folks to actually get the vaccine.
We can get 60% vaccinated, that will really put us in a good position. You know, we don't have to, this is not a test we have to pass with 100% to get this under control.
Six drug makers hoping to have a vaccine available by the spring. Well, a year after COVID was first detected in Wuhan, China, that city basically back to normal.
In this city of 11 million, the world's first epicenter of coronavirus, harsh lockdowns have given way to a hardcore nightlife. At Wuhan's central market, a food vendor tells us business is back and he's proud and happy.
That's Raymond Osencio reporting from Wuhan, China. 1 year later, with Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday all behind us, today we mark Giving Tuesday. It's billed as a day to, quote, unite in a worldwide celebration of generosity. Speaking of giving, what are the hot toys this holiday season?
Star Wars toys are really hot this year. Nerf, as often is the case around the holiday time. Paw Patrol. We also expect to see a lot of demand for LOL Surprise, as well as Hatchimals.
Retail analyst John Copeland, gift giving apparently makes you more competitive.
A new one poll survey found 6 out of 10 Americans try to outgift others. This means they try to give a better gift than anyone else. Of that, 39% try to give a better gift than their sibling. The survey also found other stress surrounding gift giving comes from worrying about finding that perfect gift, the potential of items selling out, and wondering if the recipient will appreciate it. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Steve Ritchie from Lockport, New York. He was shot and left for dead, but God had other plans for his life.
I was a police officer for 29 years in the city of Lockport.
The last 17 of those was as a canine officer. We hit a gentleman with an AK-47 that pulled up outside a bar, shot the new boyfriend of an ex-girlfriend. And that happened probably about 11 o'clock at night, and throughout the night we were trying to chase him down, and eventually we caught up to him in a trailer park, and as we sat there waiting, he came back out towards us and saw headlights coming, and all of a sudden I started seeing flashes from his car, and that was, he actually was shooting through his windshield, firing into my car. Wow. And one of the first rounds that came through my windshield, that struck me in the jaw. I laid across the seat to protect myself as the rounds were coming in through. He then rammed my vehicle, continued to push it back. He wasn't going to go anywhere. He wanted suicide by cop at this time. He wanted to end it there. So the round stopped coming into my vehicle. I thought, okay, now I got to get out of this car. I'm a sitting duck in here. As I got out and drew my gun up and pointed it at his vehicle, he shot me through again. That shot struck me in the chest, out my back, along my spine, instantly paralyzed my right arm, went through my lung. Now I'm like, I gotta just run. I saw another police car up ahead. I'm going to run to that car. Got about halfway. I couldn't run anymore. My lung is filled with blood. I couldn't breathe. And it was just like, okay, I just got to lay down here and hopefully he'll leave me alone. But as I was laying on the ground, he would fire at me as I was laying on the ground. And that's when he shot me, ended up shooting me in both my legs at that point. Eventually, he wandered off into the wooded area and he shot himself in the head and committed suicide.
So he was dead and you were in the hospital and you were declared dead 4 times?
Actually, they couldn't even get my pulse or any when I was laying there. I think I died at that point there. Eventually, what happened for me, I woke up 3 days later in the hospital. They lost me a couple of times. And then on the operating table later on, they also lost me a couple of times.
Why do you think God spared your life, Steve?
I spent 17 years asking that very question. Like, God, why? What is the purpose? I felt like there was a greater calling that he was going to use me at some point. It may have been to save one person. It may be to save thousands. I don't know.
The issue of forgiveness. I know we, as Christians, we're told to forgive. And a lot of times we say we've forgiven people. But to actually forgive, that is a long, hard process. How did you, even though your shooter ended up taking his own life, how were you able to eventually forgive him?
I spent a long time hating the person who shot me. I belong to an organization called Op Overwatch, which is a Christian police ministry to help deal with suicide within law enforcement. And as part of Op Overwatch, we got together with an organization called Saving Grace Ministries. I told my story, gave my testimony, and there was a gentleman sitting 6 feet away from me that was sobbing. I knew he was a parolee, so I'm wondering, like, okay, why is he really sobbing? So then he spoke next. His name was Frankie, and he proceeded to say that 2 weeks before, he'd just gotten out of prison, spent 42 years in prison for murdering an Erie County Sheriff's deputy. He turns and he's facing me and he's like personally talking to me and he's talking about how Christ saved him and he's looking at me and he knew a lot about the officer and he was seeking forgiveness from the family of the officer for what he did. But he also said, I want forgiveness from the law enforcement family. Could you forgive me for what I did? And as he's sitting there, what's going through my mind is here's the person that shot me, now dead, committed suicide that night. But I'm thinking to myself now, 17 years later, if he was sitting there 6 feet away from me asking me for forgiveness, am I able to forgive him? Would I be able to say, yeah, I can forgive you? So I looked at Frankie and I said, yeah, I can forgive you. That was a release for me and it was a release for him.
You look at, you know, the defund the police movement that we see and the riots across the country. What would you say to that police officer, Steve, that's just kind of ready to throw in the towel, hand in the badge, say it's not worth it?
I think the part of the issue is that we need an honest and open discussion from both sides on this issue. I think the law enforcement side and the community need to come together. I think for those police officers who feel hopeless, there is an answer, and it's Jesus Christ. Police officers are the hardest people to get through to because we actually sort of hide behind that shield. We build that wall to protect us against how we view the world, how we view other people. That's the problem. We talk about systemic racism. It's not systemic racism. It's systemic cynicism. You know, I was there, and you think, oh, I have to live a certain way or live a way that I don't want to live. And that's not the case at all, because when you live with Christ, it's the best way to live.
From Lockport, New York, this week's hometown hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The storm system that brought the soaking rain yesterday caused rain to change to snow in some areas last night and this morning. We're back to a wintry pattern moving forward. The call for today, a 1 to 3 inch additional accumulation expected this afternoon in parts of western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, where there will continue to be areas of slippery travel. The temperatures will hold steady or drop a couple degrees through the afternoon. For tonight and tomorrow, the winds will increase. It'll be mainly cloudy with flurries in areas of Lake Stone. Just about anybody in the region is fair game for a dusting to an inch. There could be a couple, 3, 4, 5 inches in some areas east and southeast of Lake Syrie in Ontario, with temperatures not too far from the freeze point. Thursday, some sun and clouds and a high in the lower 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, rescued at sea. A Florida man was saved in the Atlantic Ocean after clinging to his sinking boat for more than 30 hours. A cargo ship found 62-year-old Stuart B., a retired truck driver, hugging the bow of his boat. The rest of the vessel submerged in the water.
I can't even put into words how shocking it is that they saw him out there on that water, 86 miles from shore.
Unbelievable. The Coast Guard says B's chances of survival in those conditions, about 1 in 100 million.
A person standing on a bowsprit is that's almost a made for TV moment. That is the first time I've seen anything like that in my 27 years of doing this. That is truly an extraordinary case.
The cargo ship that rescued Stuart B. arrives in port later today in Delaware. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.